The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Box Score Breakdown, presented by hoop-ball.com. I'm your host on this Friday. My name is Vince Miracle. You guys can follow me on all social media platforms of at VM Center. And today I've got another guest with me. They treat me so good over here. First day I get Ethan Noroff, and now I get the great Steven Vidovich. How did I do, Steven?
Oh, man, I'm so excited for tonight's slate of games. We got a great box score breakdown for everybody. Yeah, it's the NorCal representing.
Heck yeah, he's right across the bridge. We just found that out like 5 seconds before we started hitting the record button, so it's perfect. Like the perfect guys to do this show, a bridge away from each other. How did I pronounce your last name? Did I do okay or what?
Oh, yeah, you did a great job.
Look at me, go, guys, look at me. I'm getting spoiled over here. Well, for those who don't know, you're tuning in for the very first time because you saw a tweet pop up or for some reason it popped up on your timeline on iTunes. What we do here is we break down the box scores of the day and then give you our fantasy thoughts on it, or even just reality thoughts on what's going on with these teams. So we're going to go in NBA app order, and the first game that I see here is the Phoenix Suns defeating the New Orleans Pelicans 132-114. This was also one of my picks of the day if you follow the HoopBall gaming side. Let's go ahead and start with the winning team here, Steven. DeAndre Ayton played 35 minutes. He had 16 points with 16 rebounds and a block. Devin Booker played 30 minutes. He had 23 points, 4 rebounds, and 2 assists. Chris Paul, 30 minutes, 15 points, 19 assists from the old man. 15 and 19 for Chris Paul, the future Hall of Famer. Mikal Bridges had a quiet night in 25 minutes. He had 6 points and 3 rebounds. And then Frank the Tank Kaminsky, 17 points as a starter. And then off the bench, Jay Crowder played 28 minutes and had 20 points. There's other players here that we can keep running down. But, Steven, just initially looking at this stat sheet here for just the Suns, what are your thoughts?
Well, DeAndre Ayton, nice little bounce back game after he's been a little bit cold recently. Chris Paul just continues to defy age. Not as much as LeBron James, but he's in that upper echelon of older players who are still fantasy relevant. You'd like to see more from Devin Booker. But yeah, overall, a pretty good performance from the main guys on the Suns outside of Booker, who's been, you know, disappointing for those who drafted him in the early rounds. But Chris Paul, man, second year in a row, just absolutely crushing it, crushing his ADP, just killing it.
I asked Ethan this question, and since that day, which was Tuesday, it's only went up, I believe, 2%, maybe even 1%. So let me ask you now, Steven. Jay Crowder, over his last 3 games, has had 3 or more 3-pointers. He's finished in double digits. He's hit 12, 15, and 20 in terms of scoring over the last 3 games. Should he be more than 39% owned in Yahoo leagues?
You know, it's really tough. I think it's really tough with the Suns between Cam Bridges, Cam Johnson. Now you got Dario Saric in the mix. He's on a little hot streak. You could ride him while it lasts, but I don't think it sticks season long.
Yeah, I mean,
so 39% is pretty reasonable to me. That would be my answer right now.
Who would you rather have? Diallo from OKC on your roster, or would you rather have Jay Crowder?
Now with everybody, or at least SGA, coming back for the Thunder, I'd rather have Crowder. If SGA was hurt again, I'd choose Diallo.
Interesting, interesting, interesting. Let's go ahead and move over to the Pelican side. Again, this is 132 to 114. Suns get the win. Lonzo Ball continues to play well ever since he really came back from injury and his brother started balling out. It finally seems like Lonzo Ball has some swag to show off. He played 36 minutes, double-double, 21 points, 12 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. Big night for Lonzo there. Brandon Ingram doing Brandon Ingram things, 25 points and 3 assists with 2 steals in 33 minutes. Zion, 23 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists. He also played 31 minutes. I think the big one here for me, I mean, because I don't really care about Bledsoe's 12-1-1-1-1-1 line here, but Hernan Gomez starts for Steven Adams, plays 23 minutes, 9 points, 13 rebounds. There's other guys here. Again, I don't want to go down the full stat sheet. We have quite a few games to cover here, Steven, but what are your thoughts on the Pelicans?
Yeah, Willie Hernan Gomez, this is a line that makes a lot of people happy who streamed him tonight. While Steven Adams is out, Willie becomes a low-end streaming option in 12-team formats. It was nice to see him get a steal and an assist after the last game. All he had was, I think, like 8 points and 17 rebounds with literally nothing else. So that's the one big takeaway for me. Anyone who's still holding on to Bledsoe, I don't know what you're doing in a 12-team league. Bledsoe has not been there this year, and he's a clear drop, in my opinion. And the rest of the guys just keep trucking.
I'm just saying this breaking news right now. I have Raptors minus 4.5, so I can get plus money on the day. With 18 seconds left in the game, they're up 86-81, and I'm sweating over here. I have a parlay going on. It was like a lottery ticket parlay, okay? And it had the Magic in it, and the Magic upset the Warriors. I had the Raptors minus 4.5, and that one already hit, and I had the Suns minus 3.5 over the Pelicans. I'm not going to tell you how much I'm going to win. Let's just know that I'm sweating my palms off right now. I don't even know what's happening.
I think they just did it.
Is it over? It still says 13 seconds.
No, it's over. They won by 5.
Let's freaking go!
Got a little heater here.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. This is a Friday night excitement. Sorry. Okay, let's move on to the next game, and it's a game that I'm gonna let you talk because I gotta go check my account real quick. Ooh, okay, we got the Oklahoma City Thunder falling 13 points to the Milwaukee Bucks, 85-98. Let's go ahead and stick with the Oklahoma City Thunder. SGA plays 36 minutes, 14 points, 5 assists. Lou Dort continues his hot scoring streak, scores 17 points in 32 minutes. Theo Maledon played 30 minutes, but was pretty quiet tonight with only 5 points and 2 assists. He did get a steal and a block, so I guess that kind of made up for it. Al Horford played just under 30 minutes with 10 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. And then Bazley, he started out hot, but then just started to get quieter and quieter as the night went on. He only played 20 minutes, 6 points, and 5 rebounds. A lot of bench guys here putting up numbers tonight, and they were all pretty consistent, just not enough to get over this Bucks team. What are your thoughts on the Thunder here?
Now that SGA is back, like I said before, I had Diallo in a spot. I'm dropping him. Maledon is the one guy that has been kind of interesting as a streaming option, but like you said, he didn't do much tonight. So there's not a lot to see here with the Thunder. You know, Horford, SGA was disappointing, but you're not dropping him. So I would just say this is a move on game. Nothing to see here.
That's exactly what I was thinking. This is just an OKC team. If SGA is healthy, you know what the pieces are. You know, for me with this team, I think it's just the trade deadline. Are they going to move any of those picks to get something that helps SGA out? Are they going to move on from Al Horford? You know, that's kind of where I'm at. Are they going to move on from Ariza? Because I think they still have Ariza under contract too, correct?
Yeah, Ariza hasn't been with the team. I think he's dealing with a legal issue, a custody battle or something. So yeah. Prayers out to him and his family for all of that. So I don't know if he's going to play this season. Horford's got a big contract. If they have the ability to move him, I think that they'll look at that. George Hill is another guy. He's injured right now, but I could definitely see George Hill on the move at some point this season.
Yeah, I could just see these vet guys being a key piece in a trade for the Thunder to get something either young with upside or a veteran that has at least a couple years left to be a real voice in the locker room, but also not as big of a contract. I think they're willing to give up some of those picks, though. I think they do want to start winning.
Do you think they package Horford with a first-round pick because how big his contract is?
Yeah, but like again, what does that really get you? That's the big thing. And I think the big thing with Horford also is where is Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond going to land? Because wherever they go, there's only a handful of teams that really need a center, and a piece of me still believes that Al Horford wants to be a starter, like full-time. And this is one of the only few jobs where he would get it. That's where I think Charlotte is the team to look out for in terms of trying to acquire a center either through buyout or through trade. So we'll see how that goes. And the Raptors, I guess. The Raptors could use a veteran, but I just don't think, again, that Horford contract is gross.
I really like Andre Drummond on the Hornets now that you bring that up.
I've been preaching. Thank you. Someone with basketball knowledge understands me here. I love the Drummond. I was preaching about it on Tuesday. I'm glad you brought it up here and I didn't have to do it. Let's go ahead and move over to the Milwaukee side. I feel like this game was the finally game for me. And finally, they started DJ Augustine over Forbes. And finally, he got more minutes. DJ Augustine is a better point guard than Bryn Forbes. I'm just saying that. Like, Bryn Forbes is an off-the-bench scorer. DJ Augustine can step into a game and fill the role as a backup point guard anytime you need him. I like DJ Augustine filling in for Drew Holiday today. He played 32 minutes, had 11 points and 5 assists, and he even got you that steal. So he did a little bit of everything for you if you picked him up. But really, the name of this game was just about the dynamic duo here between Chris Middleton and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Both players had 20-plus points. Giannis did have 19 rebounds to Middleton's 8. Giannis also had 8 assists to Middleton's 4. Both guys got a steal, and then Giannis had 3 blocks. Nothing too much stands out to me here for this team, but what about you, Steven? Does anybody on this team stand out to you?
No, nobody in particular. I mean, you'd like to see Dante DiVincenzo get on track. I'm not sure. You know, he's a Brewski 150 guy. I thought he had a better season in him than what we've seen so far, but it's just not happening from him. As far as the Bryn Forbes, DJ Augustine talk, you know, Bryn Forbes is that just doesn't seem like a point guard. He's a shooter. That's what he does. Augustine fills the role better. But yeah, this team needs Drew Holiday back. Drew Holiday was a great addition in the offseason, and just without him, they're not as good. Luckily, they went against the Thunder tonight, but that's about all I see out of this team.
I just don't understand. Like, they were on a 4-game losing streak, and they just kept playing Forbes as your starting point guard, and they gave him the majority of the minutes at that point guard spot when it's obvious that Augustine is a better orchestrator of the offense, and it was shown today. He had 5 assists in 30 minutes. I mean, that's not a lot. I mean, Giannis and Middleton carried most of that, but you know, I just think Augustine should be the point guard while Holiday is out because they need someone that can shoot but also move the ball around and find the key guys. And I think that's why Holiday is so special to this team. He brings the defense. He's a great orchestrator of the offense. And on top of that, he can get his own bucket. That's why I love Drew Holiday. But before we move on here, Steven, I have to ask you, is this a buy low moment on Chris Middleton after his struggles against Toronto? And even today, he started off kind of slow. He did shoot 7 for 18 also, so he shot under 40% from the field. He only landed 1 three-pointer, and he missed 2 free throws. He was 5 of 7 from the free throw line. I mean, I'm not saying you can go out and offer something cheap, but is this a good buy low moment for Middleton?
I mean, if you could offer anybody who's, you know, who you believe is ranked below top 40 rest of season, I'd go out and do it. I think Middleton easily finishes inside the top 40. But I'm not sure if that's going to get it done with the way he's been playing.
I'm trying to pull up the ranking comparison here now, and it's popping up here in just a second. So would this be a good time to maybe throw someone that has Middleton, because Middleton has been struggling, right, over the last week or so and during this losing streak? would you try and offer them like a Devin Booker for him?
Yes, I think I would. I would offer Devin Booker for Chris Middleton straight up.
Yeah, it's just a nice – hey, I mean, I think obviously Middleton is the better player. He gets you more rebounds, gets you more assists. I think he's going to get you the same amount of shot attempts roughly around there, but has a higher field goal percentage. I mean, they're almost the same exact player, but I think by the end of the year, he finishes higher in the rankings, and I just think this would be a good time to – If you're kind of not believing in Devin Booker taking that next step because Chris Paul is there and Chris Paul has helped make the team overall better, but not it's actually hurt Devin Booker's fantasy. I think isn't Devin Booker like he's outside the top 70, right? Like he's like in the top 80 maybe? Like he's in the 80s?
Yeah, in 8-cat he's right around top 50. And 9-cat, he's right where you were saying, like top 90 in 9-cat. So he definitely gets a boost in 8-cat. But with Chris Paul there, he's just not the same guy that he was last year. He's not orchestrating the offense as much. And it shows in the stats. And his career year shooting was not sustainable, clearly. Last year, he had an absolute career year shooting. He had one of the best shooting seasons from the shooting guard position in recent history. And that's just not there. It's just not sustainable. So I drafted him in a spot in the second round and I regret it every day.
Yeah. I just think now, if you were going to make the offer, I think now would be the best time to see, hey, here's Devin Booker straight up for Chris Middleton. Or if you have like a Devin Booker, Devontae Graham, maybe you combine those two players together and see if you can get a Middleton out of that person's hands, because I just think that now is the time to make that type of deal before Absolutely. Holiday gets back.
Especially because of the name recognition that Booker has in comparison yeah. to Middleton.
And if you that just look at and if you just look at stats, you'd be like, oh, it's like basically the same player. Oh, and you're throwing in Devontae Graham, where all I have to worry about is his field goal shooting. He still gets me assists. He gets me a couple steals. Like they would, I'm telling you right now, they would truly think about it. Moving on to the next game here, you have the Pistons falling short on the road against the Memphis Grizzlies, 95-109. Let's go ahead and start off on the Grizzlies side here. Big news came out that Brandon Clark was starting over Dylan Brooks, so that was nice to see. Brandon Clark played 33 minutes. He had 12 points, 7 rebounds, and 2 assists with the block. Ja, 32 minutes, 29 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, and a steal. Jonas Valanciunas, 17 points, 15 rebounds, had himself a night. And then slow-mo, Kyle Anderson played 25 minutes, 16 points, and 6 rebounds. Your thoughts on this Memphis team? Are they getting better?
Let me talk about them from a fantasy perspective here real quick. Is one thing I'll say is it looks like they got a logjam in the backcourt here between Desmond Bain, Grayson Allen, De'Anthony Melton. Dylan Brooks sat this game out. I mean, is there a guard that you would want on this on your fantasy roster, not named John Morant?
Yeah, and he needs to be freed, and you need to stop splitting minutes between him and Bane. Why Bane is getting more minutes baffles me. Play De'Anthony Melton. Play De'Anthony Melton. He is your second best wing defender, in my opinion. He got you 4 steals in just 17 minutes tonight, by the way. And I just saw that, yeah. So it's not like I'm even bringing that up. Oh, also, I should mention he also got a block in his 17 minutes, 5 points and 3 rebounds. He can pass. He can knock down the open 3. But really, it's just setting the tone defensively and pushing through screens. I think he's a really good player, and I agree with you. I just think that they have such a huge logjam in the backcourt that a move needs to be made. A clear role for each of these players needs to be had, because going through a 10-man rotation I just think is ridiculous. And not too many teams are doing that. You know what I mean? 1, 2, 3. I mean, yeah, a 10-man rotation, that is ridiculous.
Absolutely. And you know what? Melton probably had the better fantasy line out of the group.
Yeah, with the four steals in 17 minutes is ridiculous. Oh. Let's move over to the Detroit side. This team is tanking for something. I don't know. I'm just waiting for them to figure out what they're doing with Blake Griffin, if I'm being honest. But Let's go through the stat sheet. Jeremy Grant having himself quite a year. He played 39 minutes tonight, 16 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. Mason Plumlee, man, I wish I would have drafted this guy. I knew he was going to be good. I knew he was going to be good for this team. Man, 34 minutes, 10 points, 15 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. He filled it up tonight. Wow. Sadiq Bey starting. 32 minutes, 14 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, nothing else, no defensive stats. Wayne Ellington, even this late in his career, he's still starting? Question mark. 28 minutes, 10 points, 5 assists. And then Dillon Wright finally being the player we all wanted him to be. He played 24 minutes, 16 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. It looks like Josh Jackson was the best player off the bench. He had 15 points, 7 rebounds, and 2 assists in 23 minutes. Steven, what stands out to you?
You know, sadly, Dennis Smith Jr. stands out off the bench. 0 for 7 for no points, 0 for 4 from distance. He did have 6 defensive stats, but yeah, that guy, ever since his summer league breakout, he has struggled mightily. I'm just shocked, not from a fantasy perspective, but from a reality perspective there. Mason Plumlee, he is incredible. He's like a Nikola Jokic light, maybe playing with Nikola Jokic helped him. Although
he's like a Mark Gasol light. He's not a Jokic light. He's a Mark Gasol light.
Well, just his ability, to pass the ball out of the post.
Yes.
Which is nice. Obviously, he's not Nikola Jokic. He's not even close to Jokic.
There's only one. I'm telling you this right now, Steven. There's only one Jokic light, and he lives out in the East right now, and his name is Domantas Sabonis. He's the Jokic of the East. Nobody else in this league are like those two at the big man spot. Mason Plumlee is young Marc Gasol. I'm saying that right now. I'm making the distinction. That's fair. The distinction.
That was a little bit of a stretch there. Jeremy Grant struggled shooting the ball. He's going to have field goal percent issues. Sadiq Bey is the one guy to look at. And if you're in a really deep league, one guy that I always think might be able to get off the ground is Svi Mykhailiuk, but he just hasn't been able to. I'm talking really deep leagues for Svi, but he's just not – he can't get off the ground in Detroit. They're playing their young guys. He's a young guy. He should be able to, knock down some shots. He's a good three-point shooter, but he's just not doing it.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be like one of their knockdowns. Like, this guy's going to come in and just knock down shots for them consistently. But like you said, he hasn't really been able to do it. Dennis Smith Jr., I mean, he stands out to me a little bit. He did finally play over 20 minutes. I think that's nice to see. The 4 rebounds, 3 assists are nice to see. And again, the 6 defensive stats, 3 steals, 3 blocks. Again, the no points doesn't really bother me. I don't really want him to be a primary scorer. But can I be honest? I don't want to see Wayne Ellington start. I want to see a Dillon Wright, Dennis Smith Jr. backcourt. Call me crazy, but if you're already tanking, try out what you just traded for. You know what I mean? You just traded away Derrick Rose for Dennis Smith Jr. And I still think there's still a lot of tread on those tires. You know what I mean? He's a young player. He's got a lot of talent, athleticism. He wants to win. I've been able to interview Dennis Smith Jr. before. I just think he's such a smart guy. I believe in his talent.
I would love to be proven wrong by DSJ. And one thing on Wayne Ellington, maybe they're showcasing him for a trade.
Their whole team is being showcased for a trade. The only person they want to keep is Jeremy Grant, and that's it. Maybe Mason Plumlee too, but like Jeremy Grant is the guy. Let's move on to this next game here. Hawks fall 109-121 in their rematch against the Boston Celtics. Let's go ahead and stay on this Hawks team because, man, was it a stink show for them today. They put up a lot of points, but it mainly just came from these two players here at the top. Most notably, Trae Young, 36 minutes, had 31 points, 4 rebounds, 11 assists, and 3 steals. But Capella, the Capella Project, 31 minutes, 24 points, 15 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, and 4 blocks. If you grabbed him in the 5th or 6th round of your leagues, wow, you had yourself a night today. Cam Reddish, Didn't do much scoring or rebounding, just 9 and 5. But the big things here were defensively. He also had 6 defensive stats, just like Dennis Smith Jr. But he had 5 steals and a block. That was nice to see from Cam Reddish. It was good to see him perform on both ends of the court tonight. John Collins was very quiet in 30 minutes, just 8 points and 3 rebounds. And then Kevin Huerter, also very quiet tonight. 5 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists and a block. What stands out to you about this team tonight?
You know, they just they struggled mightily. I would say besides Capella, you know, Trae Young had a good fantasy line in 8 cat leagues. But Capella definitely was the only guy who had the monstrous line in 9 cat formats. John Collins, extremely disappointing. And one thing that I would say on Collins is he has these games like once every few weeks, maybe once a month, where he just puts up like a total dud. He was scoreless in the first half. He finished with 8 points, 3 rebounds, a steal, 2 turnovers, and nothing else. He'll be better, but we have to expect a game like this every so often. And I don't understand what it is, if he's not like up for the game, doesn't have the energy. I'm not sure what goes on with it in his mind or body that affects him every so often, because he is a really good player who can put up monstrous lines, and to have duds like this often. I know he had another 8-point game early in the season. He's had a 4-point game. This is his, I think, 4th game under 10 points, and you just don't expect that from JC. So that's the one thing that stands out to me.
Yeah, this is the second game this month where he didn't score double figures. He scored only 9 points in their 11-point loss to the Spurs on the 12th. But it was just a struggling night for him. He couldn't get it going. Let me ask you this. Do you think he gets traded at the deadline?
I think it depends on what the offer is. I think that the Hawks will want a big offer, and I'm not sure who is there to give it. Let me ask you this. Do you think the Thunder, you think this is a guy that the Thunder could go after? Maybe trade Al Horford and a couple firsts for John Collins?
That would be solid. Yeah, next to him, next to Capella, that would be solid for them to make a nice playoff run. There you go. That's something that I see. Because you got to think about it, man. I think the writing's on the wall for John Collins. I mean, they offered him a $90 million extension. He turned that down. He wants a max offer. And I think the Thunder with him and SGA would be a perfect 1-2 combo, you know? So I like that. I like that possibility. You give them a protected top 10 protected first round pick, Al Horford in a second.
You answer. Maybe throw in George Hill.
Throw in a veteran like George Hill. No, I mean, they already got Rondo. I mean, there's a deal to be made there, though. That's what we're kind of getting at. I think John Collins is also another possibility for that up and down speed of, again, the Hornets. They need a big man. I think he fills that role solid. I mean, they only have Cody Zeller there. I mean, Cody Zeller's nice, but he's not on the same level as John Collins. I just think a lot of teams will have him. Just know that wherever team he goes to, he's going to have the mindset that he's also going to get paid there. And so I'm just trying to think of teams that would want to pay a young forward that doesn't really play back-to-the-basket basketball. He's more of like a stretch four at his size, and I think you're right. I think the best team for that is the Thunder. We move on to the Boston side here. They scored 121 points to, again, beat the Hawks to 109-121. Jason Tatum, 37 minutes, 25 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, and 3 blocks. Jaylen Brown, 17 points, 4 rebounds, and 6 assists. Kemba Walker, I think this is his highest scoring night since his injury, since returning from that injury. It's also his better stat lines. I mean, just fully across the board. Played 33 minutes, had 28 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, and a block. Great night for Kemba. Good to see him back into old Kemba form. Tice returned back to the lineup as well. He had 14 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, and 3 blocks. Tristan Thompson, 17 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and a block. And I have to bring him up because I'm a fan. I'm a big fan of the Time Lord. In 16 minutes, he was also my streaming option today, and he made me money on FanDuel. He had 12 points, 7 rebounds, 2 steals, and 4 blocks. What stands out to you, Steven?
Yeah, I think it's the Time Lord. You know, I did the Plumlee Jokic comparison earlier, and that was a bust. Let me try this one. Is Robert Williams this year's Nerlens Noel?
I mean, yeah. I just think he's way better than Nerlens Noel. He is so more Nerlens Noel always looks like he's about to fall over. Like, you know what I mean? He just looks so sloppy. I think Robert Williams is poised. He also just plays his role so well. I get what you're saying. It's just a shot blocking guy that goes in there and does his job. So yes, in that aspect, I agree with you. I think he's like a lower end version of Mitchell Robinson. That's my thoughts on him.
Yeah, I can see that. I just think it's so impressive for a guy in that limited sample size to be able to produce, you know, top 100 fantasy value. The two guys, I guess D'Anthony Melton had a great night in 17 minutes. Robert Williams had a great night in 17 minutes. I think these guys need to get starter level minutes. I think it would be really interesting to put Robert Williams in the starting role and have Tristan Thompson come off the bench, switch their minutes, give Williams 27 minutes and give Thompson 17 minutes off the bench.
I honestly don't care that he comes off the bench. What I care about is the thing that everyone says, and you just brought it up. Why is he only getting 13 to 18 minutes a game? I think he needs to be averaging 18 to 20 minutes a game. I think that should be his line on most nights. He should be seeing at least 20 minutes a game. He's so efficient. I mean, on the season, this is just on the season, he's shooting 72.7% from the field. He's shooting 66.7% from the line, 6 points, 5 rebounds, 1 steal, and 1 block. And he's only doing it in, 15 and a half minutes per game? This guy's been putting on a show. I mean, I think the Time Lord is more than ready to step into some big minutes. And the PER numbers, I know a lot of people don't like them. They don't believe in them. But, I mean, it shows how good he is, in my opinion.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I'm not going to disagree with you on any of those points right there. I completely agree.
Let's move on to the next one here. 112 to 105 is the final score, and the Sixers end up with the win with no Ben Simmons in the lineup. And let's go ahead and stay on this line because I think this is Joel Embiid's second or first 50-burger. So again, Sixers win 112 to 105 at home. Joel Embiid played 35 minutes, and man, did he have himself a night. 50 points, 17 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, 4 blocks. Wow, and if you thought that was good, check this out too. Tobias Harris, 22 points, 12 rebounds, and 7 assists from your power forward. That's your center and power forward putting in numbers. You know how many assists your point guards had combined? A total of 7. Okay? That was horrible. Your guards had a combined total of 7, while your power forward and center had 12. That's crazy. Seth Curry played 38 minutes, just 9 points and 4 rebounds. Danny Green played 37 minutes, had 13 points and 5 assists. Matisse Thybulle, he got the start tonight as well. For some reason, they listed him as the point guard. He had 2 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, but where does he come in handy? Always with those defensive stats. He had 1 steal and 3 blocks. Steven, what are your thoughts on the Sixers?
I just love Joel Embiid. I love everything Joel Embiid does, off the court, on the court. I think he's my favorite player in the league, and wow. I just love to see him succeed. I'm so happy that he's not injured, so happy that he's putting those injury woes behind him. He is a top 3 fantasy player right now, and I hope it continues for the entire season. As long as he stays healthy, it will.
I mean, my big thing is I don't know how he's not the front runner for MVP. I think people just say he's at the top, but I think he should be the leader for MVP. Sixers are surprisingly leading the East. Don't they have the best record in the league as well?
Either them or the Jazz.
Right. What Embiid is doing and how they win more with they don't even look the same when he's gone. Ben Simmons does not fill that role. As much as everyone loves Ben Simmons, and trust me, I am the biggest Ben Simmons supporter, it's without question we know who the better player is of the two, right? And it's Joel Embiid, and he put on a show tonight, man. Away from him, I think Tobias Harris, we already know that he's good. Is this a time where you have to start considering what you're doing with Seth Curry, or is he just hit or miss guy, but you got to keep him on your roster because he can start getting it going at any point? Or what are you doing with Seth Curry right now if you're a fantasy owner of him?
You know, I'm holding Curry. It is possible. I don't know exactly what he did the last game when Simmons sat out, but it's possible that the floor maybe opens up a little bit more for him when Simmons is in as opposed to Thibault, because Simmons can do a little bit or a lot more playmaking than Thibault at this point. So perhaps Curry got hurt by Ben Simmons sitting out. I'm holding Seth for sure.
Yeah, just the thing that draws me a little bit of concern is just over the last month, he's shooting 43% from the field, 10 points, two three-pointers, just actually 1.5 three-pointers. No real defensive stats. I basically can find that on the wire right now. And again, on the season, his numbers are a little bit better. He's obviously your three-point specialist. He knocks down his free throws, you know, but that's the big thing. He's struggling right now, and that's why I had to ask you. I had to bring it up because it's something that I'm fighting with right now. We go to the other side here, Chicago. Zach LaVine played 37 minutes, 30 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and a block. Still having himself an all-star type of year. Garrett Temple played 33 minutes, 10 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. Patrick Williams, the Rook, got the start. 6 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. Kobe White, I think they need to respect this guy a little bit more in Chicago. I'm a big fan of his. He played 26 minutes tonight, 9-6-5, 9.6 rebounds, 5 assists. And then Wendell Carter Jr. only played 24 minutes as the starting center. He had 15 points, 4 rebounds, and 1 assist. Some guys stepped up off the bench. You know, Thad Young keeps doing Thad Young things in his limited minutes, 12 points and 9 rebounds and 20. But what really stands out to you about the Chicago team?
Garrett Temple has been stream-worthy since Lauri Markkanen got injured. And Otto Porter's been out for an indefinite period of time. He's seen big minutes. He's not going to blow you away with anything in particular, but he's just a solid streaming option if you're in a 12-team league and it's pretty competitive. I would look Temple's way if he's on the wire until the Bulls get healthy. Wendell Carter Jr., I mean, he's still coming back from injury, from a thigh bruise, and I'm hoping that he starts to see his minutes increase. And the one thing is you'd love to see some defensive stats. The empty defensive stats tonight is disappointing. Kobe White, I think he's got a bright future in front of him, but he's struggled mightily in standard formats this year. Compared to where he was drafted. And I'm not sure that this year is the year for him in fantasy. But I do agree with you. I'm high on his future with the Bulls. But this year just doesn't seem to be his.
Surprisingly, I've seen a lot of rumors that he's going to get traded. And I don't understand why. Like, I know that there's speculation that there's a Kobe White for Lonzo Ball type of thing going on. But I see a lot of potential with Kobe White. He drives, he kicks. A lot of people complain that he likes to shoot so much, but I mean, you have a guy in Zach LaVine that literally is the epitome of shoots too much. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. I like Satoransky. I think he needs to be on a new team. I think there's a lot of trade value, a lot of good young players. I think they're just missing solid young vet, like a Harrison Barnes young veteran leadership type of player. Or even like a Draymond Green, like someone that can come in there and really push them to for all of these young guys to take that next step. I think they just have good locker room guys right now, like Garrett Temple, Thad Young, Those are good just locker room guys, but you need leaders out there that are going to go out there and show you how it gets done. I think that's what the Bulls are missing, but again, that's a team that's still rebuilding. But at least they got Zach LaVine. He looks like an all-star this year. We move on to the next game here. The Nuggets defeat the Cleveland Cavaliers 120-103. This was one of my poo-poo games of the night, but I got to see one of my favorite players get 28 minutes. I don't know his first name, but I know his last name is Campazzo. He came off the bench for 28 minutes, had 10 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals. Thank you for that fantasy pickup today. I needed those steals, Campazzo. Looking at the starters here, this was another 50-burger game right here. Jamal Murray had played 38 minutes, 50 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. Will Barton returned to action after leaving for personal reasons, had 7 points, 2 rebounds, and 3 assists with a steal. Michael Porter Jr. finally showed up to play. He played 32 minutes, 22 points, and 7 rebounds. And then the Joker doing MVP Joker things, 16 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists, and 4 steals with a block. Jamichael Green, though, look at this. He started after returning from a shoulder injury. A minute into this game, he hurts his other shoulder, and he was out for the remainder of the game. He did, however, in that 1 minute and 15 seconds, did score 2 points. Steven, what are your thoughts on this Denver team, and what are you doing about Jamichael Green being out?
I'm not sure who's going to step up because Paul Millsap's out, Jamichael Green is out. You know, they don't really have – I guess RJ Hampton is a guy who saw some extra minutes tonight. He saw 20 minutes, but didn't do much with them. But one thing I would note is Jamal Murray shot 21 for 25 from the field.
Ridiculous.
From a point guard position. Are you kidding me?
Ridiculous. Like,
what?
Yeah.
Wow. That's something like I could see from Joel Embiid or Shaq in his heyday, but from a point guard to shoot 21 of 25, that's you just got to love that. Anyone who had Jamal Murray tonight just be grinning ear from ear to ear right now.
I think it's going to be Michael Porter Jr., dude, that fills in for the missing power forwards, and they're just going to play small ball. And I think that's better for MPJ. But I think I want to know, and I don't have it here in front of me, I want to know the next opponents for the Nuggets. And I'm going to try and pull that up real quick because they could be struggling here if they don't get some of their big men back. Especially, I mean, Porter Jr. has nice defensive potential, but he's so inconsistent and people try to bully him. So look at this here. I mean, they're lucky. They're lucky. So they have Cleveland today. They had Cleveland today. They got the win. Then they go up against Atlanta on Sunday. Portland on Tuesday. And then they got the Wizards on Thursday. So they got a nice string of games here where their small guys can fill in at the power forward spot. So I think if you were hoping that you were going to see more Michael Porter Jr., now is going to be that time. And we're going to see what he can do with big minutes and if he can be consistent and make an impact. So get ready, Michael Porter Jr. owners. You may see inconsistency or you may see the player you've been wanting to see all season long. Moving over to the Cavs side, you have Colin Sexton. This was one of his better scoring games in a while. And I was very interested to see how he and Jared Allen were going to play after arguing on the court in their last game. Sexton played 37 minutes, had 23 points and 4 assists. Darius Garland played 35 minutes, 14 points, 5 assists, and 3 steals. Isaac Okoro had 14 points as well, with 3 points, 2 rebounds, a steal, and a block. Jared Allen double-doubled, 20 and 10, with 1 block and 1 steal. He even gave you 4 assists. That's nice there. And then they started CeeDee Osman, which was a nice surprise. He had 11 points, 6 rebounds, and 7 assists. Torian Prince was out for this one. That's a big reason why you saw Osman start. But what stood out to you?
For this game, you know, one thing that's interesting is JaVale McGee is now all of a sudden playing backup minutes. Can he be a defensive specialist in deep leagues in the role he has now off the bench with Drummond resting now and Larry Nance out and Kevin Love? Who knows when he's coming back? So JaVale McGee is a guy I'm watching. Sexton and Garland have been struggling recently. I'd like to see Sexton do a little bit more on the stat sheet other than score and get you a couple assists. Jared Allen is the guy in Cleveland from a fantasy perspective, with nobody coming for his minutes. And I am just I'm just itching for Larry Nance to get back. That's one of my favorite guys, and I really want to see Larry Nance back on the floor.
I have JaVale McGee as a must-roster guy if you need blocks. He's going to get you them. He only needs 15, 18 minutes. He'll get you those blocks. He's the veteran version of what Robert Williams is. So I would always say, look, if Sir Time Lord Robert Williams is available, that's who I'm going to grab first. If he's been taken in your league, I'm going to go after JaVale McGee next. That's how I view them as one and two. With Larry Nance, so they have him out 6 weeks, right?
Yeah, he's out 6 weeks. I think it began
a week ago,
mid-January.
Okay. I thought it was like only like the beginning of this month, like a week or two. With that said, are you if your team is healthy, are you just holding on to him only if he has an IR, only if the league has IR spots? What are your thoughts with Larry Nance? Should he be sitting on anybody's waiver wires right now, even with this timeline?
I think it depends on where you are in the standings, how confident you are that you're going to make the playoffs. If you are confident that you're going to make the playoffs and you can hold Nance, I would hold him everywhere. If you need to get wins now, then I mean, and you don't have an IR spot. If you got an IR spot, you got to hold Nance. If you don't have an IR spot and you're struggling and you need wins now, I guess you have to move on, but maybe try and trade him before you drop him.
Yeah, man. My big thing is it's so hard to gauge where it's going to go because COVID. You know what I mean? Like, I have players out for COVID. I have players out for rest. I have a guy in Drummond who's out because they just want to find him a trading spot. It's very hard right now to roster somebody like that. I mean, there's even guys like James Wiseman who is out for so long. Like, how long do people want to hold on to that for that one block, 12 rebounds, or 12.6 rebounds in a block? Like, it was... There were decisions that needed to be made like a month ago. So I think it's time to start picking him up if you have the ability to, like Steven said. All right, Steve, let's move on to this next game here where it was the first upset of the day, 120-124, as the Magic squeaked out a win over the Golden State Warriors. And I knew I should have made this my underdog pick of the day. Let's go ahead and start off on the Warriors side just because I have it up. Steph Curry played 37 minutes, 29 points, 7 rebounds, and 11 assists. Kelly Oubre finally showed up to play in this season. He had 26 points, 7 rebounds, and 4 steals. Draymond Green, who was a game-time decision, did play today. He played 33 minutes. He had 6 points, 6 rebounds, 9 assists, and a steal. Andrew Wiggles played 32 minutes, 16 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. And then they started Anderson. I don't know his first name, to be honest with you, but I know exactly who he is if I saw his face. He played 25 minutes. He had 7 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists. There were a couple guys that scored double digits off the bench, but my question to you is this about the Warriors, because we can talk about the Warriors. I think everyone knows who they are as a fantasy team. My question to you is this, Steven. What are they doing, right? Like, they're barely holding on to a playoff spot here. They don't really seem like their true playoff a playoff caliber team, right? Just because they don't have Clay or nothing. Are they a team that you expect to make a move at the deadline that surprises you, but also sets the tone for the rest of the season?
I think the Warriors are looking to make the playoffs. I think they will make a move at this deadline if it's there for them. If they see that they can get an upgrade somewhere, I think they do it. If they can't, if the deal's not there, they're going to hold tight and wait until Clay comes back, because he has not played a game since signing that max extension. I believe that this team will make the playoffs. The one thing that I'll say, I'm a Warrior fan. I watch a lot of their games. And I will say that the team plays with a lot of fight. They seem to have a lot of energy. They play together. They do not give up. They were down 17 in this game. They made a comeback. They had, I think, a 13-point lead and then turnovers came into play and they ended up blowing it. The Magic, I mean, Fournier and Vucevic, we'll get into it, but they were excellent on the other side. But Warriors will make a move if it's there for them. We've seen them do it. When they lost Durant, they went out and they got D'Angelo Russell as an asset. D'Angelo did not fit the team. They then traded D'Angelo for Wiggins and got a future first-round pick that is very valuable this upcoming offseason. They could use that in addition to either Oubre, who has looked very good over the last 10 or so games. They could package it with Wiggins, but I actually think they like Wiggins and he's part of the future with them. I really like Wiggins' defense. He's really stepped it up this year. From a fantasy perspective, sure, he's never going to really be – he's like a Harrison Barnes type. He could maybe borderline be a top 100 player, but he's not going to excel in fantasy. But Wiggins, I think, is more of a part of the future than Oubre. If they could package Oubre and that first-round pick, maybe they toss in Wiseman if they can get something really excellent. No. But, yeah, I could see them making a move, but do I think that they're forced to make a move? No. I think they could hold tight as well.
That's interesting. This is the first time I've ever heard a Warriors fan say that they like Andrew Wiggins' defense. This is the first time I've ever heard any fan of a team Wiggins is on and say they liked his defense.
He's been playing really well this season. He's been guarding. He's been, like, taking on the Clay role. And no, I think he's a better defender than Oubre.
Wow, that's interesting. I must not be watching enough Warriors again because I still feel like Wiggins is just playing Wiggins ball. That's my big problem with Wiggins is I feel like he needs to understand that he either take the next step or don't. But we need you to either take the next step or don't. Like play your role or stop trying to be number two. Because when Clay gets there, I think that team is different. Let me ask you this. The need for a center on that team is big. Both of these guys are only going to have 2 years left at the end of their deal. And yes, I know one is significantly younger than the other, but we've been talking about him almost this whole show now, right? What are your thoughts on Wiggins straight up for Horford and maybe the Thunder throw in a first-round pick there so that you take on Horford, who's a little bit older?
I don't like it. I don't like Horford on this team. I think he overlaps with Draymond too much. I'd rather keep Wiggins.
There you go. See, I think Horford, you get a first round pick for Andrew Wiggins. You also get Horford, who I think would be a great mentor for Wiseman. And it gives you a legitimate center to play that can screen and pass. He could do like a Bogut role for the Warriors. And I like that. See, that's how I was thinking, just that Bogut fill-in. All right, Steven, I think that is going to be our time. I guess we can actually go over one more game. We do still have one game live, but we started this kind of early. The Jazz are making a comeback on the Clippers. They were down, I believe, at 11 at one point when I was looking at it. It's in the fourth quarter, 6 minutes left to go, and they're now only down by 5. Just to quickly look over that box score real quick, Bogdanovich has played 26 minutes. He has 17 points. Rudy Gobert has played 26 minutes. He has 8 points and 13 rebounds with 3 blocks. Mike Conley made his return tonight. He's played 20 minutes so far and has 14 points. But Donovan Mitchell, 27 minutes, 21 points, and 4 assists with 2 steals. You go to the other side, the return of Paul George. He's played 21 minutes, had 11.6 rebounds, and 3 assists. Again, there's still time in this game while I'm running this down. And lastly, you have Kawhi Leonard here. He has 24 points, 2 rebounds, and 4 assists. Pretty quiet from the starters away from those two guys. Ibaka is 1 rebound and 1 point away from a double-double. But the bench guys have really stepped up for the Clippers here. Lou Williams has 19 points and Marcus Morris has 11. Is there anybody on either of those teams that intrigue you as maybe a fantasy pickup or someone that you may be looking to sell high or maybe even buy low on at this point?
Not particularly. I mean, if you could buy low on Kawhi Leonard at any point in time, I'm always about that because I think he's one of the best basketball players in the world. And for some reason, he gets knocked. But outside of that, I mean, Lou Williams has been playing pretty well lately, but I wouldn't keep him in a standard league myself because I don't think it sticks. I don't really think there's much from a fantasy perspective for me in this game.
All right, then let's go over this last box score, and it's my favorite box score, mainly just due to the fact that I won money live on the show because of this game. Let's go. Toronto Raptors win by 5, which is more than 4.5, baby. Won by 5, 86-81 on the road against the Minnesota Timberwolves. And trust me, guys, my palms were shaking at the end there. Norman Powell got the start. He had 31 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals. Freddie VanVleet quiet down and cooled off since that Bucks game. He had 12 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, but he did have 3 steals and 2 blocks, so he still made his impact on both ends of the floor. Pascal Siakam was also quiet in this game in terms of scoring. He did fill out the stat sheet as well. 10 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, and 3 blocks with a steal. Bembry got the start tonight with Kyle Lowry out. He had 7 points, 6 rebounds, and a steal with a block. And finally, they started Chris Boucher. He played 21 minutes, had 9 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and still, surprisingly, no blocks from him. Baines split the time at center. He had 19 minutes and had 2 points and 9 rebounds. Everything else is pretty quiet. Does anything stand out to you about this Toronto team? And mainly for me, I guess my question is Bembry a pickup?
I am streaming Bembry in a very competitive league right now. Just while he has the start, I'm not happy about it. There just wasn't much on the wire. So in most casual leagues, no. In super competitive leagues, like maybe as a short-term streaming option, if you need somebody, if you got guys out for COVID, for weather, other reasons, yeah, like a short-term, low-end guy. And the one other note on this game is, it was amazing to hear you sweat on the pod earlier about this game. That was incredible. I'm happy it worked out. I'm happy they won by 5. Awesome.
Oh, my. No joke. There's like a stain on my shorts because I'm wearing white shorts from where my hands sweat. Like, it's kind of gross, but hey. You go to the Minnesota side here. Anthony Edwards only had 7 points. But let me tell you this right now. I don't know if you saw it, but it's on my TV. Anthony Edwards had one of the grossest dunks this season. Look up Anthony Edwards dunk. Gross. Disgusting. You're going to throw up. It was so freaking gross. And gross is a good term here, okay, for all you people that don't understand what I'm saying. It was disgusting. Just yammed that into these people's faces. Oh, my gosh. He played 34 minutes. Did only have 7 points and 4 assists. He did get 2 steals and a block. Malik Beasley, 33 minutes, 13 points, 5 rebounds. That's kind of a disappointing night for him. Towns, he played 30 minutes, had 19 points, 13 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 blocks. Ricky Rubio got the start again, 26 minutes, 7 points, 4 assists. And Vanderbilt played 17 minutes as a starter. Nothing really to hear about there. Personal thoughts on the Timberwolves is I am picking up McLaughlin right now. I think he is going to be the point guard for the remainder of the season at some point. I think Ricky Rubio is going to be moved on. He played 22 minutes and had 11 points and 7 assists, but that's just my personal thoughts. Steven, what are your thoughts on this Minnesota Timberwolves team as we start to wrap up this show?
Yeah, the Jordan McLaughlin call is pretty nice. He might be – he was good last year, and he's been pretty good this year. He can get you assists. He's an assist specialist for sure. He did well coming off the bench. I could see him supplanting Rubio at some point. Jaden McDaniels is also getting some run for the Wolves. He had, 8 points, 2 blocks, 6 rebounds, so that's pretty impressive. And 30 minutes, which is probably the best sign for him. Perhaps McDaniels – overtakes Vanderbilt at some point this season. He's a guy to put on watch lists. I'm happy for Towns right now. It's been a tough year for him, and it's just great to see him on the court playing good basketball. I wish that him and Russell – do you know how many games Carl Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell have played together?
If I had to put an over or under number, I'd say like 9. And I would take the under on that.
You would win again. It is like 4 or 5. And I think it was a few last season, and I think it's only 1 this season. I had it a few days ago, but they have only played 4 or 5 games together since Russell got traded to the Wolves. As a Warrior fan, I love watching the Wolves lose. So I'm with you.
You shouldn't, though, right? You want them to win a couple games. Isn't the pick that you guys got top 3 protected?
Yeah, but then it's unprotected the following year.
Gotcha. See, I didn't know that wrinkle in it. That's very interesting.
Yeah. So as a Warrior fan, that's one of like the juiciest assets we have. So I'm always scoreboard watching. And now that they have the flattened lottery odds anyways, it doesn't really matter if they're the worst team or the third to worst team. They have the same odds. So
if they got the number 4 pick, wow, that would be heartbroken because it would be a waste of time this year to just keep losing. That's why you don't tank. People, don't tank. Steven, that has been a show, man. We're just right under an hour. We covered all these games. It's a Friday night. It's 9:00. Let the fans out there know where they can find you online and what you got going on over here for hoop-ball.com.
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter. It's at Steven Vidovich, spelled like Stephen Curry, first name. Just writing over at HoopBall. Check out the Fantasy Pass. We got a great Discord channel that you guys could be a part of. We do live Q&As 5 days a week with a lot of great fantasy pros from HoopBall. So if you don't have the Fantasy Pass and you're a fantasy basketball junkie, which clearly you are if you're listening to this podcast, yeah, come on in. Join the Hoob.
There you guys go. Follow him at Steven Vidovich on Twitter. You guys can follow me. I'm Vince Miracle on at VM Center on all social media platforms. If you guys follow me on the wager pass for hoop-ball.com, you will know that we went 2-1 today. You also know that my parlay hit today if you listen to this show, so I want to thank you guys for that. If you guys want to see all my picks, it's just 33 cents a day, $9.99 a month. I'm telling you this right now, guys, it's well worth it. We've been on some hot streaks over here. My picks of the day have been on fire all season long. Go check that thing out. And the paywall has been down for like the last 3 days. We have MMA picks coming out tomorrow. And you guys can hear me here on the Box Score Breakdown every Tuesday and Friday to hear this beautiful voice of mine. Please rate, review, subscribe, follow Steven and I on Twitter. Follow the site at HoopBall Tweets, at HoopBall Gaming, at HoopBall Fantasy. And until next time, basketball fans. Bye-bye.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.